Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility. At sitevisibility.co.uk. This is Internet Marketing. Before we start today, we'd like to encourage anyone looking for help with their digital marketing to get in touch with Site Visibility. Whether you have a burning digital marketing question or you're looking for an agency to work with, they'd love to hear from you. So give them a call, +44 1273 733 433, or you can fill out the form at sitevisibility.co.uk/contact. Or you can speak to either Scott or Sean via the live chat function on the site. They'd be more than happy to help. Now, today I am joined by Alida Solis, international SEO consultant and founder at Auranti. How are you doing, Alida?
Very good, very good. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the opportunity to be able to be here today.
Well, it's a pleasure. Quite nice. And did I pronounce the name of your company correctly? So is it Auranti or Auranti?
Auranti.
So I did.
But no problem at all. I can completely understand if you cannot pronounce it well. Don't worry. It's okay.
That's okay. And you're in Santander in Spain, aren't you?
Indeed. I work remotely. All my clients are from all over. Yeah. So it doesn't really matter where I am. So, yeah, I am based in the north of Spain, which is quite nice because it's a small city. We have the sea, we have the mountains. The only problem is that I travel a lot, of course, and so it takes a little bit longer for me to go to places because there is a small airport here only.
Santander sounds like a good place to start a bank, actually.
The bank, and this is funny, right? Whenever I go, especially in the UK, when they ask me, like, where do you actually live, right? Like, and I'm like, oh, I don't live in Madrid anymore, because I was living in Madrid until 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I say I live here now, and it is like, oh, that is like the bank, but it's the other way around. It's like the bank is called as the city because he was born here, actually. Yeah, it's
so
funny.
So you don't live in a bank then? You live in a place called Santander?
Sadly, no. You know, that would be fun, I have to say. It would be in the bank's vault, please. Like, with all the gold and everything there, all the Bitcoin or something stored there somehow. I don't know.
Yeah, so you're a remote working SEO consultant that works in the vault of Santander. Anyway, less silliness. Just remind our listeners who you are, because you've been on the show, well, once with me, and we had a recording of you at Brighton SEO about 5 years ago, probably 8 years ago now.
Yeah.
But tell us a bit about yourself.
Yeah, well, I am an international SEO consultant, and I have a boutique SEO consultancy in which we are a small team of SEOs completely focusing on mostly strategical SEO advice that sometimes and mostly because these are bigger brands, right? Like integrates technical SEO, international SEO, mobile SEO, structural content SEO, right? Most of times this work has to do in how to identify opportunities in specific markets and grow the relevance and visibility and ultimate traffic and ROI for whether B2B or B2C clients. In many occasions, many of my clients, even if they are based in Europe and in the US, they are targeting different type of European markets and also Latin American markets in many occasions. Actually, like the weirdest type of setting that I have right now with a client is that these are Japanese clients. The company is actually based in Japan, but they wanted to target the Hong Kong audience, the Hong Kong market in English, the English speaking audience in Hong Kong, and then the US. So that is, for me, is like pretty exotic, like the ultimate edge case of what it can be. Very international SEO oriented indeed.
Well, I want to come on to international SEO in a bit, but I last interviewed you, it was, I think it was November 2015, which was about 3 years ago. We were just generally talking about you and what you do and a little bit about international, well, sort of SEO from an international standpoint, which is one of your specialities. And we'll come on to that. I wanted to specifically talk, because I know you have a lot of knowledge and expertise in mobile SEO as well. What's been happening in mobile since then?
Yes, so a lot. Oh my God, I remember, this is the thing, right? I remember starting doing mobile SEO, especially for certain markets in developing countries where mobile was the only way for the population to access the web, the internet, right? And and so the share of traffic coming from mobile and activity coming from mobile was far higher than the one that we could see at that point in Europe, right? Like that has completely changed now. Like now everybody is pretty much on mobile. Google already confirmed a couple of years ago that they were seeing now more queries coming from mobile devices in general, right? And ultimately, it was at the beginning of this year that Google already confirmed that they were already switching little by little websites to a mobile first index, meaning that the content that they will now take into consideration to assess to rank is the content that we have in our mobile version, right? I have to say that most of websites at this point already had a mobile version, whether a responsive web design with a responsive setting, right, or independent mobile websites. The oldest the website, I have to say, and if a website was in a market or in an industry that was very well established, very competitive, and if it had been there for a while, many e-commerce websites, for example, retailers, online retailers, they used to have an independent mobile website. Like, for example, eBay had an independent mobile website in an m.dot subdomain, and ASUS also did, and Zara also did, right? So many of the very well-established already had independent mobile websites that allowed them to actually focus and completely personalize at a much more granular basis their experience to a mobile audience. So in general, like most people already knew this, they were more or less prepared. Also because Google had a mobile update a year or even a little bit more before that, in which they were also validating if you had a mobile configuration, a mobile version too. So in any case, people were already more or less ready. But the problem is that they thought that they were ready because they had a mobile version. But ultimately, it was not like if you had a mobile version. But if this mobile version was effectively correctly configured to allow the crawler to actually see all of your content, if you actually were featuring all of your content there, if this content was good enough, or if you were eliminating, truncating part of the content to make your mobile version to load quickly or to be a little bit more optimized from a usability perspective, but you were eliminating, let's say, structured data from it, things like that, and that the hreflang annotations were not there, also speaking about international, right? So there were a few people or a few websites that, yes, they did have a mobile version, but this mobile version was not completely optimized as their desktop version was, right? So that was the specific challenge in at this moment. And in many occasions, I have had to revise with my own clients, right? Revise again all of the configuration, their standpoint towards how they were featuring their content, their information to fulfill not only the user intent, but also to make sure that they comply with crawlability, indexability principles in the mobile version. I had also a couple of clients that they were using like a web app version that was using mostly JavaScript to load content for scrolling, for example. And we had to change a little bit of the approach that they were taking to make sure that this content was completely accessible to the crawlers, et cetera, right? So it was mostly not about only having a mobile version, but a mobile version that was actually accessible, crawlable, indexable, and ultimately also relevant for search.
So you've had quite a lot of experience, helping clients, get their websites fully mobile. What would you say is the most common mistake you've seen that clients made?
In the latest times, I have to say, because one of the other big changes that we have had in mobile lately is AMP, AMP, Accelerated Mobile Pages, right? That is this technology that Google came up with. In order to provide the option to big websites, especially a media website, news, it all started with news websites, to generate a faster mobile version of their website, because they were seeing that they were using so much scripts, so much extensions, the plugins, whatever, that ultimately these mobile versions especially were super, super slow. So they came up with Accelerated Mobile Pages, and Google made the use of this technology of AMP as a requirement to be included in the news carousel, right? So at the end of the day, all of the news media sites, blogs, even they ended up doing it because they had to, because they really wanted to have this type of extra visibility and to be included in the news carousel. So most of the issues that I have seen lately are not necessarily even tied to mobile first index, but about how some websites implemented or had been implementing AMP in order to be able to leverage and to make the most out of this opportunity, especially informational websites, and then having to deal with that and also the complexity of mobile first, right? And in many, many occasions, this meant that they started generating an AMP version of their site, or a non-canonical AMP version of their site, in order to be included in the carousel. But they just did it because they wanted to be there, and they comply with the minimum to say, like just the minimum. But then, for example, you go to these pages, and these pages don't even have a proper navigation. These pages don't really replicate the functionality that they had in the original mobile versions. So at the end of the day, they are really providing a less than ideal mobile experience to their user. They wonder, and I have had a couple of clients wondering and coming to me, it's like, Aleida, I want you to take a look not only at our mobile configuration, but also because we released AMP 6 months ago, and yes, we are getting much more traffic and visibility from it, but the engagement of the user and the conversion of the user from these pages is so bad, is the worst, right? And I go and take a look at these pages, and typical thing is that they don't have a navigation menu, like that the typical hamburger menu on mobile is non-existent there, and then there's no way for users to add comments or to interact, and all of these functionalities, or to log in even. But all of these functionalities have been eliminated or not even included, because they just wanted to be there in the carousel. They didn't care about they didn't thought about this additional functionality, unfortunately, right? So most of the issues that I have seen nowadays is about this type of configurations with AMP and how resources are allocated to make sure that these pages really are optimized, not only to comply with the basics, with the basic requirements that Google asks, but actually are meant to be usable and provide a good user experience for visitors to actually engage with them and achieve the ultimate conversion that the website is meant to offer, right?
Yeah.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Right, I want to talk about briefly international SEO, because I know that's your main specialty. A couple of things I wanted to specifically talk about in terms of things that have been happening recently is HFLang annotations, get that right, and geolocation issues. Let's talk about HFLang first.
Yeah, I have to say something, like HFLang have been there already for a while, right? But I have seen that, like, in the latest probably couple of years and even months, there is more and more people, it seems, that they have actually started using it much more often to tag, to specify what is the target, the country and language target of each piece, of each URL, of each page of an international website or websites targeting different audiences internationally, multilingual, multi-country, right? So I have seen, like, ultimate, like in the latest months, that this is a hot topic again somehow, right? Like, I have an HFLang generator, which is a free tool that will generate the text that you need to include, whether in the HTML, in the head section of the HTML, or to generate the XML sitemap to use as a pattern. So you can specify each URL, language or country target.
Yeah.
So yes, it seems that now, and I am happy to see it, right? Like, there has been a boom of bigger brands, or that on one hand, they have hired also, I think, more of internal help, more in-house help from an SEO perspective. So, and now that they have a proper SEO department or SEO area, or even an SEO specialist in-house, they are taking care of this type of configurations that are much more granular. Maybe it is not the first thing that you will do when you start an SEO process, right? But once that you get, like, most of the fundamentals taken care of, you, these are the next steps to follow to make sure that the right pages are shown in the right market for the right audience, right? Mm. And I have seen that coming much more often, not only my way or as requests of SEO consulting, but also in the industry, in the community, in the markets. I get questions, like, I don't know, like a couple of times per month by email, asking me about, oh, this is the right way of HFLang. Like, and I know that Google, a few months ago, they updated their international SEO documentation, specifying a much more granular way also how you should implement this, what is the role that HFLang plays, how are all of the signals taken that are taken into consideration for international targeting too. So that is great, because it really helps to have all of this better documented, of course.
Yeah.
But indeed, like there's still, I think, a way to go. And for example, there had been a conversation going on in Twitter around the necessity of ideally have, for example, a way to specify regions, right? This is the typical challenge of an international SEO, right? Like that sometimes, unfortunately, websites are not configured by default as you wish, ideally, right? Like they come how like they are or have been established, the targeting, many, many years ago. Like even with systems or platforms that don't allow to do much change, right? So for example, in my case, right, like I see many websites having a regional targets, like they want to target the EU, Europe, right, as a whole. Like understandably and realistically, this is not the best way to target an audience. You target an audience whether per country or whether by language.
Yeah.
But realistically, this is how many, many websites are configured, right? Like, oh, I want to target all Europe in English. Like, and then my first thinking is like, well, okay, like maybe only the British or and the Irish will be the ones searching in English by default, right? Like Spanish or French or Germans, they will search in their own language, or Italians, they will search in their own language, not in English. Mm. But this is how it is configured in many websites. So we need to find a way to specify that easily, and right now, for example, with Dash of Lam, there's no way to specify regions, for example. So we need to specify country by country and assign the same URL again and again, for example, for to target many of this country. So like there has been these conversations of ideally in request to Google, right? Like, could you please also support this, etc.? Let's see, because I believe that there are many type of mechanisms and configurations that you could ideally support. But unfortunately, still, right, even if there has been a boom going on lately, international is still quite a niche type of thing, right?
Yeah.
And I can completely understand how Google will put their resources, much more resources in other areas, like, for example, in technical SEO, like supporting or giving resources and tools regarding JavaScript rendering that it's affecting many, many more websites due to the popularizations of JavaScript frameworks to develop websites instead of international SEO that understandably is only big, huge websites that have usually this type of problem.
Well, come on, you just mentioned actually about JavaScript frameworks. I want to come on to those in a second. But just before we do, just coming back to the href lang thing, are you confident Google's going to tackle that one eventually? What are your thoughts?
Well, no, I don't think so, actually, because in the latest conversations that we have had about this topic with Joe Mueller, well, he's open and he has mentioned many times that this HRF lang annotations and the configuration, how it's set and how it's meant to be configured, is one of the things that generates many, many questions in the SEO industry and concerns and also like doubts in general, right?
Mm.
And how it should be properly configured and implemented. And it's because it takes a little bit of a work to implement it again and again. But when many of us in SEO, from the SEO community mentioned about supporting regions, well, he had mentioned that he doesn't think that this is going to happen because, again, it's an edge case. It's not the ideal scenario to have, and I can understand that definitely having regions is not the ideal. So it's like if they support this type of configuration, they might be even endorsing it in a way. I understand that is something that he's afraid of and doesn't want to do. But yes, I am also concerned that we don't have a very good way to specify that right now in a straightforward way with hreflang, unfortunately.
Yeah. Oh, well, good old hreflang. Yeah, let's move on to technical because you just mentioned it now. You mentioned these various JavaScript frameworks, like Angular, React, for example. I mean, JavaScript, it's a whole topic in its own right. There's been so much happening in the last few years. But why have these become important of late?
Yeah. Well, there are all these frameworks right now that provide by default many features and facilitate in general the development of websites, right? So they have become sort of, for newer websites, most of the norm. to use, especially for startups, right? But many of these websites, indeed, they rely too much on JavaScript to show the actual meaningful content, the main content of your pages. So at the beginning of this year, I had a client that literally, if you disable JavaScript in your browser, there will be no content at all.
Oh my God.
I mean, this was not an e-commerce, but yeah, well, it was a transactional website, not the typical e-commerce, but yes, it was a transactional website. So it was terrible to see. You disable JavaScript from Chrome or any browser anyway. So you will get like just a notice instead of the actual options to buy, saying this website requires JavaScript to work, something like that. And I have to say, on one hand, we know that Google has evolved a lot, and there was even a post 3 years ago or so saying, oh, we are now capable to understand a process JavaScript. Realistically, earlier this year, they are sharing much more about how they do it, and they do support JavaScript, but it's not as straightforward as with plain HTML of the content that is included directly in the HTML.
Yeah,
it's sort of a two waves of processing that they use to process JavaScript, and when they have enough resources to do it. So if you really want to make sure that your content is taken into consideration and is seen by Google, it is a must that the content is included directly in the HTML, to use something that is called server-side rendering. Ideally, so the content is the output of the content, the text is there in the HTML, and of course there are easier ways to do it, independence of on which framework you are using or not, and the specific restrictions that you may have. Earlier this year, or last year actually, it was Elephate, Bartos from Elephate, who did these tests across many JavaScript frameworks to check, and based on the framework that was used, what content was indexed or not, in Google, and the actual one that went away and then won in most cases was the inline JavaScript implemented in React. But of course, again, it's important to say that this is changing a lot. So that was a few months ago, and it's important that if you have, for example, if you're in SEO, you're doing SEO, and you there's a client that come up to you that is using any JavaScript framework, that you check actually the rendering with Chrome 40/41, that is the web rendering service that Google is using at this moment, and validate for yourself specifically and see if the content is actually being render as it should, effectively, all the main important content. And if not, to work with the development team to optimize and make sure that is the output of the information of the text is effectively rendered in the HTML. Otherwise, it will be completely overlooked. And this is something that, again, I understand how this is like an outcome, I will say, of the importance of a case of the importance of technical configuration in SEO. And this should be the first validation that you should be doing all the time. Like, is your content accessible, crawlable, is indexable before doing anything else, like the basics, the fundamentals. But unfortunately, we often forget about it. And then there's, of course, a higher complexity because this becomes more technical than before.
I think that, I mean, because I can speak as a software developer, and I do think that there is this problem where there's a massive disconnect between the geeks like me, the nerds, the technical people, and the marketing people. And us nerds, we get terribly excited when a new technology comes along. I mean, I remember being immensely excited, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, when SPARS, this notion of a single page application, came along, and these various JavaScript frameworks. And we get all excited, as geeks do, and start foaming at the mouth and creating these things, completely forgetting that when the web spider comes along and looks at the site, there's absolutely nothing there for it to index. So
yes, indeed, indeed. And you can see this a lot in startups, in the newer startups that get, especially, and I have to say that I have been shocked in a few times lately when I see that framework or a language or a specific technical setting is being seen by some developers as if it was like a religion or something. Oh,
yes,
no,
yes.
React is the best. I need to use
the new
React,
silver bullet.
Yes or yes, because it's like, indeed. Yeah. And nothing has ever been like this. And it reminds me a little bit like very long ago, before even doing SEO, I was a web designer, front-end web developer. And at some point I had to use Flash, right? Macromedia Flash. Imagine, many, many moons ago.
Yeah.
So I remember at that point how this usability and accessibility people advocating, and Selman at that point talking about the standards in the web, things like that, and all these designers who, on the other hand, designing like. At that point, for me, was amazing type of interfaces, interactive interfaces, even with ActionScript and a lot of things like this, right? But of course, this was not accessible at all. This Flash objects and content that was generated. So I think that we're going through that phase a little bit again with new technology that comes to provide interactivity, to provide more interactivity, I have to say, a much, much richer type of experience on the web, and to find opportunities and also to make it accessible, to make it open. So the crawlers, search in general, can understand, and the content can be provided, and ultimately also achieve the goal that this content has, that is to give certain information to an audience. Otherwise, if you are not able to attract that audience, there won't be a way to make it work in any way, or to achieve the ultimate goal.
Brilliant. Well, thanks so much for coming on today. We talked about some quite sort of diverse things today, but very quickly, what would be three top tips or takeaways for our audience today, Alida?
Yeah, I have to say that maybe a mix of everything of what we have talked about. I have to say the first, maybe basic fundamental, is that don't forget the fundamentals. At the end of the day, a lot of people here to speak about JavaScript optimization, rendering, etc., and they get fast because it's too technical. It's about SEO fundamentals, of technical fundamentals, of a content being accessible, being indexable there, which at this point can be even validated by most of the SEO crawlers out there, Screamy Frog, Cyball, Deeprawl. They all support JavaScript crawling. They have a JavaScript crawling option. And then you can compare the plain HTML non-JavaScript versus the JavaScript one and identify the changes between what it is found in one and what is found in another. If there is a change of meaningful content or meaningful pages, then go to your developer and talk about these differences. So it should be very straightforward. That is the first. The second is, more and more I see people, especially big companies, thinking and trying to leverage their international websites and configuration that they have had already for a while, and from which they haven't seen, they understand that they haven't seen a proper ROI, and it takes a lot of effort to maintain. So when a new client comes and they tell me, look, Alida, I have all these international versions, but the profit that I see from them is minimum. It's like, for me, it's like, so you haven't done a proper planning, a proper validation, a proper strategic approach to international to select well which are the actual markets that are profitable for you, that it will be viable for you to put resources and to go through all of this configuration that we have talked before, that is non-trivial, to make it work, right? So for me, it's thinking before releasing many CCTLDs, many international translations, just because your boss or whatever thought that it might be a good idea, to actually validate if this is something that you can actually support, what is the goal that you look to achieve with each one of these versions, if there is an actual market or an interest behind, etc., etc. So that is, for me, is fundamental, to not throw your money away and thinking that international SEO doesn't worth it. It does, but you need to validate well. And third, I have to say that probably I thinking more from, especially on mobile, right? From a user perspective, I see more and more, especially now with mobile first, with the mobile first index of Google, people trying to just replicate and what they did or what they had on desktop because it worked pretty well, and they say, okay, it's responsive web design. I shouldn't be even thinking or do a question because it's the same HTML, it's the same content. Users should behave in a similar way or the same way. And Google has confirmed that they will treat also the content, even if it is not displayed by default on mobile, but they will take into consideration that content. But I have to say, like, there might be a lot of difference in the way that your mobile audience interact with content and look for content on the mobile devices versus the desktop one. So responsive web design is not necessarily a bulletproof approach. So I will say validate, verify, analyze, research if your specific audience behave really in the same way or in a different way. And if you could, and if you have the opportunity to personalize the experience and to generate and to feature different type of content or more content or the same content, but in a different way, with a different organization to fulfill better that type of experience. Because indeed, it's not that websites don't have a mobile version. They do at this point, but it's not necessarily a mobile version that actually fulfills the user intent and that maximize the experience and the conversions due to this fact, indeed.
And how can our listeners find out more about you and more about Oranti?
Yes, well, people can find me in oranti.com is my consultancy website. And then aleidasolis.com is my own personal website. And of course, in Twitter, I am very active in Twitter and I am always sharing about whatever I think might be valuable for users in SEO and the web in general.
Thank you so much, Alida. So thanks for listening, everyone. Show notes are in the usual place, sitevisibility.co.uk/impodcast. If you're enjoying the show, please leave us a review. That would be fantastic. Questions and suggestions, the email is podcast@sitevisibility.co.uk. You can tweet @sitevisibility. We have a site visibility group on LinkedIn. That's all from me, and it's all from Alida.
Thank you very much for the opportunity again. I've had a great time. It has been quite a nice conversation covering a few topics. Very looking forward to hear any comments, any feedback. I'll be happy to answer for sure.
Thank you very much, Alida, and we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.